The gospel reading today comes to us from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at verse 41 and concluding with verse 52. Listen to and for the word of God. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. The Christ candle is lit. The other four candles, the hope, peace, joy, and love candles are lit. You see, the Messiah of hope, peace, joy, and love has entered the world. Humanity has been offered grace. The 4th century Bishop of Hippo, Augustine, writes this about the significance of the birth of Jesus as God's most tangible expression of grace, the grace available to humanity. Quote, "Our Lord came down from life to suffer death. The bread came down to hunger. The way came down on the way to weariness. The font came down to thirst. He so loved us that for our sake he was made man in time, although through him all times were made. He was made man who made man. He was created of a mother whom he created. He was carried by hands that he formed. He cried in the manger. In the wordless infancy, he, the Word, without whom all human eloquence is mute." It is true, only Christianity places grace at the theological core of its belief system. That is the good news of Christmas. And we share it again on this first Sunday after Christmas. Samuel's life is an act of grace itself. His mother's womb was barren until God answered Hannah's prayer. You see, Samuel was integral in bringing to and exiting from the throne Saul as king, and raising up and anointing David as king. Samuel prepared the way for Jesus. Samuel knew his purpose and his call to service. We receive from Samuel and Jesus a vision for being God's loving family, a community of mutual, self-giving, and sacrificial love. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, we learn that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and love. Jesus dispensed grace, positioning himself in relationship to and with others in a profoundly loving, deep way. Melissa Browning writes, "Yes, injustice abounds, but God's justice always wins in the end. No system of governance has ever lived up to the justice and mercy here and now, even when our rulers are scoundrels." God's plan for saving the world through love, loving God and loving others, was and still is a methodology of shared leadership. You've heard me say many times, yes, in Christ there is salvation, but God has invited us to live the way of Jesus, partnering with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to bring salvation to all we encounter, planting seeds, nurturing seeds, and perhaps from time to time, even being a part of someone responding to God's love for them in Jesus Christ. Shared leadership empowers others to know that they are loved by God and can love others. When we partner with God and love God and love others, it's a contagious dynamic that others see Jesus in and through our everyday words and actions. Yet shared leadership is hindered by our ego, fear of failure, control, inefficiency, pride, and self-sufficiency. As people of Jesus, we need to bear with one another. Grace dispensed in difficult times requires accountability, support, and encouragement. Practicing grace is not a soul endeavor. We need each other. We are to do this with one another. We need to support one another in the walk of forgiveness as members of the body of Christ. As followers, wearing love is our defining garment. Now, I wrote those words, but sometimes the defining garment that I wear is not love. I know that's hard for you to believe, but think about it. The dominant garment of a follower of Jesus Christ is the love of Christ that Jesus has for each one of us. And so, as you've heard me say many times, if I can get 51% and above with wearing the garment of love, then I think God is well pleased. And even when I slip down to 40%, I walk with God, hopefully to begin at 52% and move up the scale. Because God's grace is unmerited. I simply need to say, thank you, God, for loving me, even when you know me. And the same is true for each one of us. Loving God links us to one another and other people. Loving others is the way we can bear with one another in those difficult times with the grace that brings us together in support and encouragement. As followers of Jesus, wearing love is our defining garment. Now, Peter Venner, an opinion writer for the New York Times, writes, "If you find yourself in the company of people whose hearts have been captured by grace, count yourself lucky. They love us despite our messy lives, stay connected to us through our struggles, always holding out the hope of redemption. Now, I am not Peter Venner, but I'm going to add something to his quote, and I don't think he would be opposed to it. But we are holding out the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ for redemption to other people all the time. When relationships are broken, it's grace that causes people not to give up, to extend the invitation to reconnect, to work through misunderstandings with sensitivity and transparency. That's what the Bible talks about. Sometimes we struggle with what Venner is saying. We do give up, and we don't extend the invitation to reconnect, and we don't work through our misunderstandings with sensitivity and transparency. But Jesus wants us to work through. Don't give up. Keep reconnecting and working through misunderstandings with sensitivity and transparency. Excuse me. Loving God and loving others brings salvation. This is the good news. When you respond to God's calling, it is good news for the world. You then represent what a human can look like and behave like as envisioned in God's desire. So I challenge myself, I challenge each one of us this morning. Increase in stature, wisdom, and the favor of God. Increase in stature, wisdom, and in the favor of God. Just like roadworks around our city seem to occur all the time, our lives undergo ongoing construction. Your story is constantly being written. So participate with Jesus in ongoing construction of your life continually, continually shoring up your life of purpose and service. Amen.